Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
All right. God bless you tonight. God bless you, all of those, our listening audience. God bless you. We thank God for having you on tonight. Praise Tabernacle. God bless you. Amen. All our family and friends, we greet you in the name of Jesus, he whom says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We would like to welcome you here to another Tuesday night Bible study here at Praise Tabernacle Church. We would like to thank God for Elder and Lady Oliver, our radio engineers. Thank God for all of the members of Praise Tabernacle. Amen. And we would just like to thank you so much. Amen. Throughout this pandemic, throughout what's been going on, these new challenges, you've been so faithful in supporting the ministry. And on tonight, as always, we have another great teacher. You have heard him teach for the last few months. Great Bible scholar, great Bible teacher. And that's in the person, Elder Victor Blewett. He's going to be leading us tonight. We also have on Elder, our president of our Elders Council, Elder Richard Lee Taylor. He's on tonight, yours truly. I think my precious wife is going to be on. We will be missing Evangelist Stanton and Deacon Stanton on tonight. They're having to work. Amen. But we thank God for, amen, just another opportunity to be able to preach and teach the word. We're going to say a quick prayer, and then the next voice you will hear will be our leader for the night, our teacher for the night, Elder Victor Blewett. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We praise you once more and again. It's in you that we live, move, and have our being. And it's true. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we are nothing. But with you, we are more than conquerors, and we are satisfied with Jesus alone. And God, as we get ready to enter into this Bible study, we pray now for our teacher that you would crown his head with wisdom and knowledge, and we trust that the Holy Ghost would give him, outside of what he may have studied and what may have been revealed to him through his studies, we're praying that the Holy Ghost would give him what's needed also on tonight for your people. And we trust you with him. We trust you with the word that is going to be food for our soul on tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Elder Blewett.
Amen. 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 Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hope everybody is blessed. I'm looking forward to blessing at least. Tonight I want to teach out of the book of Luke. At Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 26, Luke chapter 8, verse 26. Amen. Bless Elder Oliver for his platform that he brought to our church. Amen. We didn't know we was going to need it at this time, but it is here as a blessing. Indeed. A blessing indeed. Luke chapter 8, verse 26, where we'll start tonight. Amen. I pray to God has been taking care of you and your families, meeting all needs, regardless of the situations that we encounter and tribulations we encounter. But it's all good in the sight of God and His will. And I thank God for the many blessings He has blessed me and my family with, and our church family with. We are yet still. Luke 8, starting at verse 26. Amen. I don't usually give us a subject or a title when I teach scripture, but tonight I want to give a subject to just keep in the back of your mind as we go through this. The subject is spiritual deliverance. Spiritual deliverance. This is a very familiar story to a lot of folks. But I want to teach this in the context of what it is and what it was meant to be for us, even at this time, the present day. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. So before I start at verse 26, what happened prior to this is that Jesus and his disciples had got into a boat, and he told his disciples, let us go over unto the other side. That's prior to where we're at now. Let us go over unto the other side. And, of course, there was on the lake of Galilee. And when they got to the other side of the lake, and you know what they went through while they were on the water, it had a wind storm, and water was coming into the boat. And Jesus asked them where was their faith, because they were scared. And it ended up, and when he had saved them, they was wondering, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the water, and they obey him. So this is a man that's incredible. We'll just leave that right there. So this is what happened prior to where we're at tonight. Let us go over to the other side. So they have arrived. So at verse 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And this was south of the Sea of Galilee, the southern part. It was a area of Gentiles, or 10 cities in accumulation called the Decapolis. That was their name, the Decapolis cities. But it was the Gadarenes that he came upon at a certain point when they had crossed the lake. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee, in verse 27. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and were and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Now, this particular certain man was a man possessed, right? So when Jesus and his disciples landed, they were met by a demon-possessed man. Three facts are recorded about him. He had been possessed for a long time. He was running around naked. And he lived among the tombs in the cemetery instead of a house. The tombs were caves, or caves that were carved out of the hillside. So rich folk or wealthy people at that time would go on the hillsides and hew out or make a cave or a mausoleum or a tomb or a resting place, and made many chambers in them for people of the family of their family. So this is where the man was at. This was his home. This was his area that he lived, according to what was going on inside of him. And when he went forth to land, Jesus and the disciples, they met him out of the city, a certain man. Why did the man go meet Jesus? Why did the man show up when they showed up? Right? So the thing is that, well, we'll get to the next verse on that. So the thing is that we don't know what's inside of us sometimes that God has placed in us that we have not discovered, right? There's some undiscoverable things that are inside of us right now that we have not, attached on to or discovered yet. This man met Jesus when Jesus got to the shore of the Sea of Galilee. So let's go into verse 28. When he saw Jesus, and that right there could be a subject for a preaching right there. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." When he saw Jesus, he cried out. So he's possessed. He has demons in him.
Right.
But when he saw Jesus, he recognized who Jesus was immediately.
Right.
And we have a problem doing that our own selves. We have a problem recognizing when Jesus got his hand on something in our life. This man, demons, they recognize Jesus. It's point blank. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. Now, he didn't fall down to worship him or to praise him. He fell down because Jesus has all authority. See? Jesus has all authority. He did not kneel down to praise him. He did not kneel down to worship him, but he kneeled down because of the name of Jesus and who he was or who he is. When he saw Jesus, he cried and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, see, and the question that he asked in verse 28, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus?" In other words, they have nothing in common.
Right.
They have nothing in common. Thou Son of the Most High God. They have nothing in common. Satan knows exactly who Jesus is and why he's there.
That's right.
See, the disciples why Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side." But now we see God always has intentions of doing the work. Amen. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." So I'm begging you. The reason why he fell down on his knees before Jesus, because he's begging him not to torment him, because Satan knows where he's going. Satan knows where his end is. Satan knows that he only has but a little time. And he doesn't want Jesus to rush that time right now. If there's any questions or comments, please, y'all. Satan knows his end is coming. He knows it's an expected end that was given by through Jesus to him. We good?
Good.
Yeah, this man came to me. Go ahead.
No, you right on. That's just
okay. All right. As soon as the man recognized who Jesus was, he cried out with a loud and fell on his face before him. This was not the worship, rather submission to Jesus, his authority. He apparently shouted out to Jesus at the top of his voice in a combination of fear, anger, and defense, and requested to be left alone. I like that. He requested to be alone. Amen. So verse 29, this lesson is not going to be very long, but we're at verse 29 of Luke 8. Luke 8, verse 29. "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and feathers and in feathers. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." So even the people could not contain him. They tried to contain him. They tried to settle him down. They tried to restrain him. Jesus had already commanded this demon and his companions to leave this man. He knew how powerful these demons were and what they had been doing in this man. See, there's some things only God knows. And we don't know everything, and we shouldn't tend to know everything. There's certain things that God knows and keeps to himself and protects us even when we don't know it. Demons hate everything associated with God and his plan. And this is especially true about their hatred for his people. I don't want to go on about how much the devil hates us. Just know that he hates us. And it makes him smile when we do his will. It makes him smile when we come out of the will of God and start mischievously just doing things in our lives that are not of God. The devil is at work full time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we plan. You got folks that are playing with him. The devil ain't here to play. And we can see as he has a hold on this man. And the only thing that this man can live by is to come out of this is by Jesus. The only thing that can save this man is Jesus. So we got to stop playing with our lives that God has given us. We got to stop playing with the children and the wives and the husbands that God has given us. We got to show love 24 hours a day. We got to do right. We can't give the devil an open door to come into our lives. He can't come. If you're a Christian, he can't come in and possess you, but he can't hinder you. But we got to stop giving the devil a door with a hinge that opens and closes as we choose. We got to stop, because something like this can happen to anybody if your faith is not wrapped up in Jesus. For he had commanded the man, he had commanded the unclean spirit in verse 29 to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven out, driven of the devil into the wilderness. So they tried to contain this man, but the demons inside of him were very powerful and used supernatural strength for the man and his flesh to break the chains, to break whatever he was bound with. Amen. Demons hate everything associated with God and his plan. I said that before. They are completely devoted to evil and accomplishment of the will of their master, Satan. The power can be seen in what they are doing with this man. He exhibited such physical strength. Have you ever ran into somebody that just didn't seem right? And, you know, in black families, we got folk that ain't right. We got folk that, something wrong with them. We got folk that say things out of time. We got folk that are just not right. But have you ever considered them being possessed? See, we let alone when we did. Go ahead. You got all kinds of spirits out there that have people acting in different ways. It's not always a strong demon, as we see these right. Amen. We got to stay careful. We got to stay prayed up. Amen. So verse 30, and Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? As if Jesus didn't know. But it's something about the confession we make with our mouths that God wants to hear. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. That's good right there. That's good right there. Luke says there are many demons in him. A Roman legion was numbered between 3,000 and 6,000 men. That's a lot of demons. That's a lot of demons in one person. Have you ever ran across somebody that mind was so messed up that you could say A, B, and C, and they would repeat D, F, or some other letter? Have you ever ran across somebody that was so messed up in their mind that they just couldn't understand? that they just couldn't think right, do things right, right?
Right.
Consider what's going on in the world today. Consider what's going on in the world today. There's a lot going on. It's a lot hidden. It's a lot of evil under the table. It's a lot moving that's not of God. So we got to stay steadfast. We got to understand that things are not always for our benefit when we fall out of the will of God. We got to stay in the will of God. This right here can happen. This right here can happen. He said his name was Legion. That can be anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 demons inside this man. All of them recognized the authority Jesus had over them, though. They were repeatedly begging him not to send them into the deep. What is the deep? What did Luke mean when he said the deep? The bottomless pit, hell.
Yeah.
See, they know they're expected in.
Right.
See?
Right.
Over where they're going. And they were contemplating, or they were begging Jesus not to send them there at this time.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Right.
Anybody got anything?
Doc, that's real good, and it's very important. I mean, you teaching, as always, it's very important that we stay mindful to keep a close relationship with God.
Mm.
Because all of us are, if we're not careful, we're susceptible to become more like the world, take on the things of the world. And no doubt this man, some way or another, I mean, he whether it was him that recognized Jesus or the demons that spoke through him to recognize God, we all have been in that situation where, you know, most of us, where we have had a relationship with God at some point, and through life, through the cares of life, we may have left God. I mean, I know I'm guilty of it. I've been back and forth to the altar, you know, numerous times. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you know, just, you know, sometimes playing around, sometimes just out of tradition, and not realizing the more we go back and forth, the worse we get, you know. And every time we go back, there's no guarantee that we're going to be able, or let me say, every time we leave God, there's no guarantee that we're going to be able to get back to God. So a lot of us, mm-hmm. man, you know, let's just be careful. I mean, man, you're teaching us. This is great. Let's be careful not to play with the devil. And I think that's a statement you just made. Let's be careful not to play with the devil, because even if it seems like he's playing with us, the devil plays for keeps. You know, he's not just playing just to be, you know, trying to be your friend. No, he's playing because ultimately he wants to destroy us. Well, the word says that the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. So I'm enjoying this, man. Keep up the good job.
Yes, sir. So verse 30 and 31, and Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. They did not want to be sent to the most dreaded place they knew about. The Greek word is abyssos, referring to an abyss or bottomless pit. They got an inspected in, and they wasn't ready to go there yet. So Revelation 9:1 refers to an angel from heaven being given the key to the bottomless pit. And Revelation 20:1-3 refers to it as the place occupied by Satan during the millennium, which is the 1,000-year reign of Christ when he'll be on this earth for 1,000 years. 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 1:6 mention a place where certain fallen angels are currently being held captive in chains and under darkness, waiting for their judgment. So when Lucifer or Satan was cast out of heaven with a third of the angels in heaven, there were some angels that came with him, but God immediately locked them up. They had done something that was so bad that God did not allow them to roam the earth today as some demons are doing right now. But God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing.
Come on, man. Come on.
There's some angels locked up right now.
Yeah.
Not allowed to walk this earth where we're walking right now. But why is Satan walking? Why are some of his demons still walking in? Because God wants to show all the evil that Satan possesses.
Yes.
All
Come
the
on.
Evil that possesses. We have to be a witness to what God is going to judge. We have to, and rightly so, God does not want any man, woman, child to perish, but he does want to know if you love him. See?
Right.
He does want to know if you're going to choose him. And if you're not, he got somebody that can take you out. That's just plainly put. See? God will give you over to a reprobate mind, meaning you're just crazy that you can't love him. You're just crazy
right.
that you can't accept Christ in your life. So if you're that crazy, I got something for you. And he's walking this earth right now to get you. See? So verse 32.
Amen.
Verse 32 and 33. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Mm-hmm. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And there, in verse 32, one more time, and there was a herd of swine, a many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. So demons always desire to inhabit some kind of a body.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing they can do. Just float, I guess plainly put. But they have to have a body to do harm, right? Or to move around, or to get to and fro, right? As an alternative to being sent to the deep, they ask for permission to enter the bodies of the large herd of swine or pigs that was feeding nearby. They ask for permission. And that reminds us that God, Jesus has all authority. Even though we see things going on in the world today, even though we see things even in our own homes at times, we see things that are just not right. That's out of place. Why did you say that? Why did you do this, that, or the other? Why did you act that way? See, there's a little persuasion around all of us if we're not standing in the will of God. If we're not standing on the foundation of God's word. There's some kind of. We have to stay fixed on the word of God that He is. So Jesus has all power. We know how he got all that power because he sacrificed himself. God said, if you will sacrifice yourself, I'll give you all power, and he did it. And you know, that's another lesson. That's another lesson. Yeah, that's another lesson. They probably would have preferred entry to the people of the nearby city, but they knew Jesus would never grant that, so they opt for the pigs. See,
I hear you.
Huh? they know Jesus. See, they know Jesus. They know Jesus wasn't going to let them go into the nearby town, into other people.
Right. Yeah,
they knew he wasn't going to do that. Huh? They knew that. So the first thing they wanted, well, I guess we got to go in these pigs if we don't want to go to hell. Just this bottomless pit that we're promised to go to. See? Luke then says that he permitted them to enter the pigs. This is a good reminder that Satan and his host have no power or authority on their own.
That's right. Right.
No power or authority on their own. But whatever God grants them to do is the only thing they can do. See? God's not going to put on us more than we can handle. keep that in mind the rest of your life. All right? When trials and tribulations come along, when people treat you wrong, when you think this, that, or the other of other people, see, and you think it's against you, it's always going to be a situation that you can handle it. And I beg you tonight, stop losing your mind because of trials and tribulations. Stop doing it. Stop saying things out of your heart to people because of what they've done to you to hurt them. Stop doing it. All trials, all tribulations, and in the middle of that, all situations, if it comes to your door front, you are able to handle it. God trusts that you will use what he put in you to use to get above and beyond the trial, the situation, or the situation. God has empowered us to get through. Why? Because he wants a testimony. He wants to be lifted up. He wants to be praised. And he's the only one that can want that. And he rightly deserves that. If you hear my voice now, you ought to thank him because you yet still living. We can think back all of the situations that we have been through, all the harm we have caused other, even other people. We got through it. Some of us got scabs and scars and cuts. Some of us limp. Some of us may be blind. Some of us may have a limb missing. But we are yet still here. That's a blessing. And we need to stop looking and praising God for the blessings, but we need to start praising God who is the blesser. And I think we got it twisted in what he does for us, and we count the blessings. It's good to count. That's fine. That's fine. But we need to start blessing or praising the blesser.
Yeah.
If we're praising just blessings, what happens when the blessings have a dry spell?
Right.
Where is your praise then?
Right.
But if we have gratitude and attitude and smart enough to just say, God, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for watching over me. I thank you for taking care of the things I see and I don't see. Now, I have never seen a spirit. I have never seen one walking. But I thank God for the unseen that he protects me by.
Right.
Amen?
Right. Amen.
That's right.
So
Amen.
They had begged Jesus mercifully in verse 32. Jesus granted them permission when they saw a herd of swine to go into the pen. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountaintop, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter therein, and he suffered them. Okay, go into the swine. All right, go ahead. You can have the pigs, but you're not going to have my people. See? Then went the devil out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. Even the pigs had enough sense.
Right.
Even the pigs sense there's something going on.
Something ain't right here.
And I think Evangelist Dove spoke or said this last week. I think she may have been teaching on what did she say? If a man would lose his life for me, for my sake, the pigs had enough sense to lose their life.
Uh-huh.
How come we can't?
Wow.
That's an example of, okay, this ain't God. But for God I'll live. See, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I can't remember how it goes. If anybody can remember that, let us have that now. What would a man give in exchange for his soul?
Yep.
See?
You want it.
Amen. So Luke then says that he permitted them to enter the pigs. This is a good reminder that Satan and his hosts have no power or authority over on their own. While the devil is currently called the god of this earth, that does not mean he has freedom to do anything and everything he wants. He is still under the controlling hand of God and cannot go beyond what he permits. And that's just awesome to know. A lot of evil things going on right now. But it cannot hurt you if you believe in God. If you're a child of God, you cannot be demonly possessed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a child of God, you cannot be demon possessed. You can be demon hindered.
Yeah.
You can be demon persuaded, but
yeah,
you cannot be possessed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See,
after getting the Holy Ghost,
right?
There is hope for salvation. And God is not going to forget your confession that you accepted
mm-hmm.
his son. And he's not going to ever forget that. He will not allow you to be possessed by a demon that he kicked out of heaven himself. Okay. Anybody got anything?
You good over here on my end?
So this verse 34, we almost finished. Verse 34. When they that fed them saw what was done, meaning the ones that took care of the pigs or with herds of pigs, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done. The people that they told it to came to where this event happened. What was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So remember the subject tonight was spiritual deliverance, right? Then they went to see what was done. So everyone was acquainted with the man. Everybody knew about the man. There may have been some of the people that was trying to bound him or bind him with feathers or with chains so he wouldn't make a ruckus, or they were scared of him, right? So it was difficult for them to believe he would have had an encounter with someone who did what Jesus did. This was not the kind of crowd Jesus was to have around him. Normally, people came to hear him teach and witness the healing he performed for those with special needs. Everyone had to see what was happening. A new type of crowd for Jesus. You know, the crowds usually around Jesus was the ones witnessing the healing and brought and went and got other people to be healed of him. But this crowd right here was a different crowd, you know. Sometimes you're going to have some folk in your church. When we do open these doors, you're going to have some folk in your church that ain't there for church, that ain't there for
mm-hmm.
Jesus, ain't there to get no type of praise, but there to see what they can get into or to be nosy about what's going on, about the word of
right.
God.
Right.
This group right here didn't come to be healed, and the reason they feared because their income was gone now. You know, so your average man that has a family and a home, when he's working every day to provide for his family, pay the mortgage, pay the rent if you're an apartment or whatever, even in the house, pay the rent. If he loses his income, he can be so-called feared, or he can be so-called unsettled, right? So they had lost their income. So in this context of them being afraid was that they had lost their income in this context. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Oh, man. Instead of being attracted to Jesus by what he had done, the people felt great fear.
Right.
Jesus accomplished that
or exorcism, people normally would come rushing and a crowd around him, bringing others who also needed his touch. His works always drew more people to him. The action of fear, right, something was wrong. Economic loss from the destruction of the pigs rather than the value of a man delivered from demonism, their priorities were messed up. See? And when we put the love of money before God, our priorities are messed up. And they didn't know they had the Jesus that Scripture had wrote about, that they had the actual Jesus in the flesh amongst them. They let something of value to them take their heart away from the value in front of them. How many of us are putting certain things before God? Even though we know what's not right, even though we know it's evil, even though we know right. It's not of God, how many of us have put those things before God?
That's good.
How many of us
That's good.
Are temporarily believe? How many of us only believe when we see the blessing? Where's your blessing? Where's your faith when the blessing ain't came yet?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You got anything, Pastor?
Oh, bro, you're doing a great job, man. I'm enjoying this.
Amen. Amen. So, our last verse, and we'll be done. Our last verse, and we'll be done. Verse 36 of Luke 8, verse 36. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. That's crazy. The delivery from demons was instant and total. I don't care you're going through life right now. I don't care what you have done. I don't care what you're thinking of doing right now. If you would stop now and accept Jesus Christ in your life, it would be instant spiritually, and the Spirit of God will work on you physically.
Yes.
See? Never put in doubt that you can change. Never put in doubt a good word for somebody else. So whatever state of mind, and we see this man had 3,000 to 6,000 demons in him, one man.
Right.
And in
right.
Jesus healed him of that situation, of that tribulation, of that issue that he had. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Being saved and we understand that the man's deliverance was spiritual as well as physical. There is evidence of this in verse 38, which is two verses down. We're not going there, though, but I'll tell you here. There's evidence in verse 38 where he begged Jesus, and this is the man that got saved, to allow him to travel from place to place, to travel with Jesus. He had And see, when we get saved, you know, it's something about having a need, a real need now. It's something about having a good need now. It's something about having a hunger for the Word of God. It's something about wanting to learn of the Word of God. And the more we learn, the more we understand. And all our learning and all of our getting, let's get an understanding. And God provides an avenue for us to learn of him, that we don't have to fall back where we were. See? We don't have to fall back where we were. Right? So Jesus, now the understanding of Jesus is that, no, you can't come with me right now. No, you can't be around me right now. I want you to go home and tell others. I want you to be a witness. See, I'm going to go that way today. To go this way today. But I need you to go that way where you live and tell them about me.
See? That's right.
That's how we help Jesus. That's how we help God.
by running and spreading the word of God. That's how we help God.
Wow.
That's how we help God deliver us. See, we don't always, everybody don't always have to have the presence of Jesus in their life as far as physicality or physically or whatever. The word
right.
of God is convincing us. If you tell it right,
yes.
the word of God can convict.
Yes.
The word of God can change the mindset. The mindset
yes.
changed the heart. So he didn't. He said, no, I got my disciples. You good. I don't need you to. It must have felt so bad that he couldn't hang out with Jesus. It must have felt so bad that he couldn't be a disciple also and walk around with Jesus. But what Jesus did was this. See, Jesus knows what's good for us. He knows if you're going
right.
to tell it or not. He knows
right.
if you're going to spread the word. He knows if you're going to tell of the good news of the gospel or not. He wants you to run and tell that.
Right. Right.
He wants you to run and tell that. And there was a few others in Scripture, in the New Testament, that wanted to hang out with Jesus, but he sent them home and told them to go tell others.
That's right.
Amen. So there's a spiritual deliverance for folk. I say a lot because there's many people in the world need to be delivered from.
Right.
There's a spiritual deliverance in Jesus. As long as you're living, he's available. Cry
yeah.
out on Jesus. Beg for Jesus to come into your life.
Yeah.
Beg him to be with you. Beg him to protect you. There's some things coming on, and we don't know what day it's going to happen, but the wrath of God is going to break that sky one day.
Yeah.
And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ in your life, I don't know what your end going to be. But if you don't, because in the twinkling of an eye, we can be accepted, as we know that the
That's
man
right.
on the cross was a. But I can't.
That's right.
I know by the word, we confess him now. We can get a head start on it.
Right.
Okay. We might not be
Amen.
In a position to accept our lives. We have to accept him when we are able, when we have the opportunity.
Yep.
There's a lot of things going on right now. There's a lot of stuff on CNN and the news and the newspapers or whatnot. Wherever you get your information from. There's a lot of things that can misconstrue your mind on what's actually going on in the world. Get your foundation in God. God is the foundation. God is everything that we need. And I'm not ashamed to say that. When I was younger, I didn't know God. I didn't go to church. My family didn't go to church. But when I met God, it changed my life. It changed my life. And some things I
yes,
did not
sir.
Want to visit. When I accepted Jesus Christ in my life, I lost everything that I thought was perfect, that was that I needed. I lost it all.
Come on.
God has filled me as a 59-year-old man with things I couldn't even imagine I would have. I try to stay as faithful as I can. I try to stand on the word of God at every opportunity. I try to love everybody as I want to be loved. I don't want to give place or opportunity to the devil to hinder that.
Right.
But I know whatever trial and tribulation I got to go through, I can get through because it's on my front door.
Yes,
I think
sir.
Somebody mentioned that about sweeping your front door.
That's right. Sunday.
Whatever situation is laying on your front door, get your
broom.
Get the word of God and just sweep it off.
That's right.
Don't get entangled with the affairs of this world. But get entangled with the word of God. Amen. All right, Pastor, it's all yours. Well, we'll do the I want to give everybody an opportunity to support our ministry. If this word is a blessing to you, let your family know that didn't hear tonight that there is a spiritual deliverance that God is wanting to give
mm-hmm.
everybody that's in
yes,
God's
sir.
Right
yes, sir.
So we want to give you a chance to give on tonight to support our ministry. I want to say, and I will say, we have one of the best ministries around.
Yes, sir.
God, We mean what we say, and we say what we. So if you
That's want right.
an opportunity, our Cash App is the $ PTC 877. $PTC 877.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's our Cash App. $ P for praise, T for tabernacle, C for church, 877. And if you would like to give by credit card, debit card, or even PayPal,
right.
our phone number, finance office, is 678-760-6056. That's 678-760-6056. Any donation is good. We know God can use whatever we give for his purpose. 678-760-6056. You can use that for your credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Amen. God bless you. In the hands of our pastor now.
I tell you what, great, 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 and did I say great, great message, spiritual deliverance. Spiritual
yes, sir.
Deliverance. Let us take heed to what we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. My God, I tell you what, Jesus sent the man back home. Sent him home. Why, and that could be the question, why did Jesus, Elder Blewett touched on it, why did Jesus send the man home? Could it possibly be that it was more important for him to get his family, get his loved ones, let them see the difference in him first? See, a lot of times we want to go other places, and I say this all the time, almost every service, we want to be great everywhere else, but it's most important that we are great at home. Let your who can better tell your testimony outside of you, who can better tell it than your family, those that live with you, those that grew up with you, those that went to school with you, that knew or knew how you was, but look at you now and say, hey, that person is not the same. She is not the same woman, or he's not the same man. So it was more. I can just looking at the text, all of it was great, but I can see it was more important that the gospel be spread through that man going back and being a testimony, being a witness, a living testimony. I think the Williams mm-hmm. brothers, there's a group that wrote a song, "I Am a Living Testimony," and you know, I mean, man, great, great teaching tonight, and I just want to encourage all of us. Let's, you know, especially now in this dispensation, in this season of time, let's work on us at home. And I say this all the time: let's work on us at home. That way, especially us fathers, it's a lot going on. Let us fathers do right in the home, so our children can see us and pattern us. Our wives will love us and follow us, you know. Let us be the priest of our home. So, Elder Blewett, man, I tell you what, great. You and Elder Taylor and Evangelist Stanton, y'all make me a proud pastor. Y'all make me look good. Y'all make me look real good. And I appreciate y'all. I appreciate your assistance. Elder Taylor, before we close, did you have anything you want to say on tonight?
No, it's just great words. And I was gonna stop him there a couple of times because he was trying to mess with the word for next week, you know, kind of tying in what the Lord gave me for next week.
Uh-huh.
It's just amazing how the Holy Ghost works and tying certain things together. But
right.
Other Blue, that great word, man. I thank God for you, man. And I always tease him and call him a rabbi. But I love him. He gets into that word, and I really appreciate it. Man. Great word tonight, man. Great word.
Bless you.
All right. All right, Rabbi Blewett, Rabbi Blewett, I tell you, the Lord.
Rabbi.
Hey, the Lord know how to elevate, don't it?
Yes, do.
Hey, Elder Taylor, when we come on Sunday, on Friday night, I'm gonna have to start saying we thank God for Rabbi Blewett being in the number four. Yeah, great job, man. Great job. Yeah, he's a teacher. He's one of the greatest teachers I know. So we thank God for having that gift as part of our church. Amen. And I tell you what, some people, you know, we are one of a few churches that I know that shares the pulpit. I mean, a lot of churches, and you know, count to each his own, whatever floats your boat. There's a lot of churches that, you know, the staff don't get many opportunities. You know, there's, if it ain't that pastor or whoever, the wife or whoever, someone that's going to, you know, if he don't make sure he don't feel intimidated, you know, things like that. It happens in church. It's a shame, but I'm grateful to God that he surrounded me with great men and women, that we have no reason to be jealous. You know, we're not jealous of each other. We support, you know, we support each other. And I'm just grateful that I'm able to be numbered amongst y'all, man. You know, even as younger than you guys are, y'all are very supportive of me and have been from day one. Elder Taylor, you've been very supportive from the day you came, and Elder Blewett from day one, from the start of the ministry. You guys have been there. So I'm grateful to God. Even as a young man, I finally graduated from being young Timothy to, I think I'm Paul now. I think I am. So I'm Paul and he's the rabbi. So I guess I guess you're John the Baptist. Elder Taylor, I guess you're John the Baptist. So. So we thank God.
I do want to say that since the beginning, you have been a very truthful man. When somebody is truthful, it gains respect, and I respect you wholeheartedly.
Right.
I appreciate the work you're doing at the event. I appreciate you going against the trials and tribulations and coming out on the other side. It's what we do when we're in the situation, how we come out of the situation. And you have always come out of any situation on the best side. And we do appreciate you very much, man. We really do. We really do appreciate you very much. Your openness.
Yes, wow.
And your
I love y'all, man. I love y'all, and ain't nothing you can do about it. I love y'all. So, Chaos Blog Talk Radio, we're a very transparent group. We don't claim to know it all, and we even have a saying: if we don't know, we'll let you know we don't know, and we'll get back with you. You know, we appreciate y'all, and you know, it's just as real as it get at Praise Tabernacle. These men have come from all walks of life. Their testimony is not, well, Elder Taylor's is close to mine. We born and raised, grew up in the church. But y'all heard Elder Blewett say tonight, you know, he wasn't raised like that. And y'all heard him, I think, last week. He gave his testimony about growing up in South Central and selling drugs, selling dope, and doing all kind of things. But and there are many other brethren, sisters, that have came from all walks of life. And for one way or another, God has placed us under one umbrella, and we're grateful to God for it. So before I start crying while I'm out here getting my exercise on, let me go ahead on and dismiss. I got members texting now, enjoying it. So we appreciate y'all. We thank you so much. We want to give a shout-out to Elder Derek Oliver and Lady Keisha Oliver. This is their anniversary week. So we want to thank God for them celebrating. I think it's 3 years. I think it's their third year anniversary. So we thank God for them. All right, we're going to dismiss. Y'all meet us back here on Friday night at 7 o'clock with Bishop Omar Zachary and family. Bishop Omar Zachary and family ministers will be back on Friday night with another word, praise and worship, and a word from the Lord. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you. We glorify you once more and again. We thank you that we found ourselves in the word on tonight and how it has impacted us in such a short time, but it has made an impact that we feel and believe by faith will be life-changing. And we thank you for the message and the messenger. We thank you for giving him the wisdom and knowledge on how to teach that message line upon line and precept upon precept. God, continue to bless your people, strengthen your people. We're praying continually for Sister Asha Bluett, that you will continue to touch her body. Sister Melanie Martin, continue to touch her body. The Gray family, the Williams family, in these times of bereavement. Brother Adore and some of these other ones that we have been calling and been in constant prayer. And we're thanking you that you have been touching, healing, and delivering. And as we leave this place, whenever you're present, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. God bless you, Chaos Blog Talk Radio family. Till we meet again on Friday night, we bid you Godspeed. Good night.
Good night.